I want to talk to us about considering the invitation. Consider the invitation. Now, I want us to really think about this a lot. Just the simple word of an invitation. You know, all of us like to be invited. We want to be invited to the party, right? I want to be invited to the party. Who doesn't like to be invited to the party? Woohoo! How about a moving party? Robert, we have a moving party. You want to be? Yeah, that's the parties I usually get invited to. Hey, brother, I'm having a moving party. You're invited. Woohoo! You got the truck. Yes, I know. My favorite are the painting parties. Yep. Those are the good parties to be invited to. Man, those are a blast. I hesitate to take George's phone calls because he usually has a rock party that he's trying to invite me to. Hey, I got this pile of rock that needs to be moved. You want to come and have a party? Like, no, thanks, brother. I got some other party to be at. I know. And that, too, is a dangerous thing to be around. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want us to really think about this. Is RSVPing, which I really don't even know what that means other than to say yes or no, and please, yeah, try not to explain it to me because I'll forget. Yes, exactly. That's all it means to me. Is RSVPing as simple as just saying yes? It's a deep, wow, that's a really deep question nobody even wanted to answer. It is a trick question. I will warn you, it is a trick question. What's that, Elf, brother?
I would say no. Just lay back your comment about being intentional.
All right, amen. So, you're right. In fact, I would even say, if it's just simply as simple as just saying yes, then we have a major problem. We have a really big problem because it creates a lot of problems. If all I have to do is say yes to the invitation, and if that's all that entails as far as accepting an invitation, then we don't consider the invitation. Because in considering the invitation, here's what we have to do. We also have to consider what I have to surrender, what I have to give up to say yes. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning, because if we don't consider what it requires to say yes, then we will say yes and we actually become more susceptible and even more open to deception than simply not responding at all. Did you guys hear what I just said? Think about that for just a moment. Please, please really consider this, because I believe it's something that we as believers, whether you are a part of a big church, small church, you've just accepted the invitation to receive Christ as Lord, you've been walking with Christ for 30 years, 50 years, at some point, the invitation requires me to say, what am I surrendering? What am I giving up to walk forward in this invitation? Hello?
Amen.
You guys with me? Okay. It happened to me just this week, actually. Actually, it was last week. I double booked myself. I got all excited about the National Day of Prayer. I met up with a bunch of pastors, and I signed up for one of the main parts that were going to be a part of the National Day of Prayer. And I said, yeah, I want to do that. I'm excited about doing that. Let's do it. Let's go there. I'm going to be there, and we're going to have a great time in the Lord. Then I got home that evening and I didn't consider all that was a part of that invitation. And I got home and my wife says, yeah, by the way, we're going and we're leaving the day before National Day of Prayer. She didn't even know I already accepted the invitation. She said, hey, here's when we're leaving. And I'm like, oh. Something in my brain was like, all of a sudden, like, oh, something's clogging up. Oh, no, something's clogging up. And I realized I had double booked myself. So thankfully and gratefully, I have a young man named Stephen that he is capable of taking my place and filling in the void. But see, what happens is because we don't consider the parameters of the invitation, we'll say yes to things, and we say yes to an invitation to all are invited into the kingdom of heaven, correct? Hello? you guys know that. That's something I believe in. I believe wholeheartedly in, because all are invited. He has invited all to join in, to come to the banquet, to come into his kingdom, to come into salvation. He said, whosoever, right? You guys know what John 3:16 says, right? Come on, somebody quote it for me right off the hip. For God so loved the world. You guys got it started. That he gave his only begotten son, that... That was good. That was all right. That was all right. It'll sound horrible on the podcast, but that's all right. It sounded good here. Mm-hmm. I know. Well, okay, then it'll be all right. All are invited, that whosoever accepts and receives the offer to salvation are welcomed in. And that's good news. Amen? Amen. So let's talk about then, again, what this involvement of accepting the invitation is actually about. Because when we seriously consider saying yes, we have to consider what it is we have to surrender. I'll share a little bit of my first response to the gospel. My very first response to the gospel was one of an emotional draw that God, the Holy Spirit, settled on a meeting room full of people about this size, to where, if maybe even a little bit bigger, to where all of us sensed, felt, were taken into the presence of God, to where we knew that God loved us, we knew that God cared about us, and we knew that God, the Father, wanted us as children. We all felt that, sensed it, and lived it, and breathed it, and were weeping and just loving it, and just, man, it was just a wonderful time. But I distinctly remember this one part of my, that acceptance of that invitation to come into salvation, to be born again, to say yes to Jesus' love for me that he gave his life for, was that night laying in my bed all alone talking to God. Basically, almost all night long. I mean, really, almost all night long, I stayed up just talking to God that I didn't know, but now I knew. And he was talking back to me. And the thing that he said to me, and it was super clear, and it was a choice, he said, "Now you know that if you say yes to me, if you say yes to me, it's going to cost you some friendships, some relationships. People are going to look at you differently, and they will even not like you. Are you willing to still say yes to me?" And that was the answer that I gave, because I knew that was a better choice, a better choice of eternity, and this purpose in my life was like, wow, that's worth it. But I had to make that choice, and I distinctly remember, and I remember it so vividly, laying in this little dorm room bed at Sierra College. It's so alive to me today that I remember what I had to surrender to accept the invitation. They were my all in all. They were my everything, because I had nothing. I had nothing. I hadn't a family. I didn't have a family. The family that I had was abusive and dysfunctional. I mean, dysfunctional, with a capital D and an S and an F. Everything about it was dysfunctional. So much so that I did everything I could to stay away from it, because it was so dangerous and hurtful. And the only relationships that mattered to me were the ones that I developed in high school with my peers. And he said, "This is what you're going to have to give up." And I honestly was like, wow, that's a lot to ask. And at the same time, it was so puny. It was so minimal to ask, because of what I had discovered, what Jesus gave up to save my life. But I had to make that choice. And because I made that choice, I believe that God took that decision, that when he invited me and he took that decision that I made to give up, he said, okay, now here's where I'm going to take you. And he started taking me in places that I didn't even really choose to go. When he told me I was going to be doing this, I argued with him for a full year. And I said, no, you got the wrong guy. The wrong guy. That is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I was telling God that he was wrong. It didn't work out at all. It didn't work out at all. It still doesn't work. And others too that we would like to highlight, like Jonah and Moses, and even Joshua had issues with being called. Let me read a couple of verses of passage of scripture that's going to highlight what we're talking about here today, because I think this is so imperative to our walk with God here and now, to where it's instead of trying to navigate through muddy waters, we're going to it'll bring us above them. I believe this for some reason. I just really believe that's what God wants to do in us and through us even today. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 16, I'm going to read this passage. Jesus said, he said to him, a certain man, this was him, Jesus telling a parable, telling a story. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of land, a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I ask it, you have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask it, you have me excused. Still another said, I've just gotten married to a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Do you hear what those excuses really are saying? Do you hear what they're really saying? I'm not willing to give up what I am doing right now and what I think is more important than the invitation to salvation. I'm not really willing to give that up. I don't want to give that up. I'm choosing not to give that up. I'm choosing to, instead of exchange life, I'm going to choose something that I think is going to actually satisfy me. You guys remember me telling me about my story. I could have easily chosen, and you know what? Out of the 12 other friends that went to Lincoln High School that were a part of this football camp that the Holy Spirit came on, and they all experienced that emotional, that connection, that God, the Holy Spirit, reaching into their very soul, they all experienced it. And to this day, there's only one of them that I even know of that has continued to walk with the Lord. Because I believe that God the Holy Spirit, this is what happened, God the Holy Spirit was also speaking to them in the middle of the night, saying, are you willing to give up? Are you going to accept my invitation and in turn give up that which is what you think is important? And I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt that they said no. The experience was real. But they said no. They said no. Because of the excuses. They gave excuses. They said, no, I've got stuff to do. I want to live a life. I want to go out with girls. I want to get a job. I want to make money. I want to do this. I want to go there. I want to do this. I want to do things that, you know, Christians aren't allowed to do, and I want to do them. Right? How many of you have heard that voice in your own head, or maybe other people say, that caused you to wait on the decision? Hello? Amen. So we relate to that. I know that because, and that's really what they were saying. I'm not willing to exchange. I'm not willing to surrender. I want to keep it my way. Then the master of the house became angry and he said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded and still there's room. Then the master said to the servant, go into the highways and the hedges. I love that. And compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who are invited shall taste my supper. I love the highways and the hedges. I don't know why that's such a cool thing to me. I think that's so relatable to who we are, what we do. The highways and the hedges. What are the highways and the hedges? Anybody have any idea? It's kind of, huh?
They're all around here.
Mm-hmm. What are hedges? Hedges are not these pretty little European manicured bushes that line the streets of the castle. That's not what he's talking about, a hedge. Hedges are the hiding places for the homeless. It's where those that have no place dwell. Go there and ask them to come in. Huh. I love that. You know, last week we started talking about, and Stephen started sharing about the idea, the reality, the principle of sharing our faith with those that need to know Jesus, those that are lost, and the call to learn how to do that, to where we become comfortable, to where we are actually engaged in reaching the lost, wherever they're at any place that they're at. And I know, and I said, you know, that makes me uncomfortable to try to attempt to do. That's an uncomfortable thing. So I must always constantly be compelled to trust the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding and be obedient, even when it's in my uncomfortableness, to go and share the gospel, to go and share the gospel with sometimes people that don't want to hear it. And sharing the gospel in season and out of season, to where it's like there's no place to where I am not ready. Is that okay to say? I'm not ready ever to not share the gospel. I could have just said I'm always ready to talk about Jesus. And we need to always be ready to talk about Jesus. Do not be afraid to talk about Jesus. Do not be afraid to give God the glory for what God is being glorified in your life about. Do not hold back. Give God honor and praise and glory and watch Him do magic. If you want to, I don't know, can I say magic? Watch Him do mighty work in people's hearts right in front of your eyes. You don't have to have all the recipes and all the right words. And yes, I do. I can give you the Roman road to salvation, the four spiritual laws. I could do all of that. But sometimes all of that is nonsense until I listen to the Holy Spirit and just love on somebody. Just love people right where they're at and let God speak to their hearts. Let God grab them and let God use you. Oh, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. So let's go. You know, I'm talking about this, I can't seem to get away from the principle of exchange, the great exchange. It seems like it's, as I'm looking into this, it's like the most vital part of our walk with Christ is the principle of exchange. In fact, I would even propose this truth that without realizing that principle of exchanging up, trading up, exchanging life for death. In other words, we trade in death and we get life. If we don't realize that, I believe that what we have the potential of doing, listen to this, if we don't realize that, understand it, and even walk in it, we have the potential of being extremely deceived. So much so that we have the potential of, as Jesus said, having a light that is within you be darkness. That to me is one of the most mind-blowing things that Jesus had ever said. When he said, see to it that the light that was in you, that is in you, is not darkness. And if it is darkness, how deep does that darkness go? And I believe it comes down to the deception. When we deceive ourselves, then we think that we are in the light. When we simply think that we can walk with God and not give up a walk in the world or a walk with ourselves. That's a deception. That's a strong delusion that is overtaking Christianity by the handfuls, I mean by the millions. It's really, really scary what Robin and I are seeing happening in friends' lives, in people's lives. And it's something that we say, wow, this is right in front of us happening here and now. And I believe the deception is simply because of that very one thing that is causing us, is we think that we could walk a fence, that we could walk with both feet in the kingdom, one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. And Jesus said it, he said it more clear and plain than anybody. He said, you can't serve two. You can only serve one master. And the wording that he used there is so strong. He doesn't say, well, you're going to serve one, but the other, it's like you just kind of leave in the, leave high and dry. No, he says, you will serve one, love one, and hate the other. You will either love one or hate the other. You can't serve them both. So the choice becomes this, that we must choose as we accept the invitation to walk with God, to walk in salvation, to walk in the light. That acceptance of that invitation, isn't it so much so that we're actually turning from darkness? When we sing that into marvelous light, we're coming, we're actually declaring and proclaiming too that I'm coming out of darkness into light. As opposed to just, hanging around in the dark. Who likes to hang around in the dark? I don't. Stumble over things, trip over stuff. Another passage of scripture. Like I said, I got quite a few of them that kind of emphasize this theme that I'm talking about today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24, it says this. This is interesting. Jesus says it. It says, don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth eat and rust destroyeth. There we go. No, I just had a dry mouth. Yeah. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Wow. Okay, I got to stop for a second and listen to what the Holy Spirit said to me. It just like came to me right just that this very moment. I had a dream last night. No, I'm serious. I'm being serious for a second. I had a dream that my whole family was in my house and we were just enjoying each other in the house, fellowshipping just together, enjoying our company. Children, grandchildren were all there, and we were kind of surrounded by our little living room area, and which is near the front door. And all of a sudden, I heard this extremely loud bang that somebody was trying to get into our house, and they came at the front door. And as they came at the front door and they tried to open it, but they couldn't get in, and it was locked. The front door was locked. And as they tried to get in, I'm like, what in the world is going on? Somebody's just trying to open my door. And I instantly went to the door, and as I was, they turned, and there was all I saw was two black shadows and a really big dog. And they had come up to my front door and attempted to just barge in and overtake us. For some reason, I knew that. Didn't go out and talk to them. For some reason, I knew that. And they came in. They were attempting to come in and some reason just overtake us. with a dog in their size and I don't know if they had weapons, but they had something that they were going to overtake us, rob us, steal from us, take things that were not theirs. But the door was locked, and I was able to watch them just walk down our driveway and leave. And of course, I wake up, and then I play the scenario out, and I'm like, call 911. I'm like, all these things. I'm thinking, oh, man, I need to get that taser battery powered up at my door and stuff. But the Lord really spoke to me just here and now, for some reason, gave me that dream last night that the things in this world, the thieves have capability of taking. And you think that you can protect your goods. And the thieves in this world have become so clever. They work harder at stealing what doesn't belong to them than at working to earn it themselves. You cannot protect your goods here. I mean to say that in the most, I don't mean to scare you and say, oh, what do we do? It's like, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Where if a thief comes into my home, they can have it all. Because it's just temporary. It's just stuff. But where a thief can't come in and take, and it's locked away, and it's locked for eternity, is that which you store up for eternity. They can't come in and take it away. It's locked. And they'll just have to walk away. That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, I didn't realize that was right there. And that was here. Praise the Lord. So let's go on and read this. I'm going to continue to read this. It says, store up for your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. I need to just make a little quick side note to that. Is the world says that opposite. The world says, wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Follow your heart because that's what's going to take you to your dreams. No, I'm going to tell you right off the bat. I'm going to tell you straight up. I'm going to be honest with you. Your heart will mislead you if you follow it. Your heart will always deceive you if you follow it. Hello? And I know that some of you don't agree with me, but I'm going to tell you that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that your heart, my heart, is more wickedly deceptive than anything on the planet. And it deceives ourselves. We deceive ourselves in our heart. Do not follow your heart. Treasure, put the treasure as priority. Eternity, the stuff of eternity, and your heart will follow. That's what the Bible says. And that's the truth of God's word. You store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, for that's where your treasure is. Your heart will follow. Hello? And if you think you can, if you think that you can dupe your heart, you're duping your heart. Your heart's duping you. That's what I meant to say. I'm serious. No, really. Mm-hmm. No, I know that there's some of you think that you still got this thing. Man, I'm following my heart. I'm just, you think you still got it. Don't deceive yourself. Then he goes on, he says, wherever your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. For when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light in you, if the light that you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. For no one can serve two masters. For he will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and be enslaved to money. You cannot serve both God and money. Let me go real quick. I'm going to go to a good example that we have in the Israelites, the children of God, in Numbers chapter 25. It's just a couple verses. Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 3, says, now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, And the people began to commit harlotry. Why did this happen? This came about because of who? Because of the prophet. Anybody remember? Balaam, right? Balaam the prophet tricked the people of Israel to commit harlotry. He said, no, I can't speak a curse against them, but I know how you can get them. I know how you can get them. Cause their eyes to look at the Moabite women because they are fine and they are good looking and they will be drawn to them. So have them parade around all the Israelite men in their scantily dressed clothes to where they are drawn to them. That's really what happened. Anybody else interpret any different? Anyway, that's okay. I thought it was. Here's what they did. They began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab, and they invited the people. Listen, do you hear that word? They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against them. Oh, listen to this. This is really crucial for us to understand this. The invitation for God, the invitation that God gives for you to come into his kingdom, out of darkness into light, is for all, for whosoever. But I'm going to tell you this straight up. Just as the enemy was about misleading, misdirecting, and deceiving God's people, he is still about the same business. And he, the enemy, is constantly inviting you and I to join him. And in that invitation to join, let's track with me for a second. This gets me excited. I'm starting to preach now. The invitation to join God's kingdom is for all to enter in. We must surrender, give up the darkness, walk out of that, and walk into his kingdom. The invitation, so likewise, to join the devil's kingdom is the same way. You must give up God's kingdom to walk in his kingdom. You can't serve both. Hello? And that's exactly what they did. They chose to surrender the peace of God, the call of God, the blessing of God, the purpose of God, the right standing of God to enjoy moments on this earth. And they accepted that invitation and gave up all that God had offered to them. Wow. That's real. And it's just as real for us today. Just as real for us. I'm going to move on. Matthew chapter 22. This is I'm going to read kind of a long passage of scripture. Talk about it for a minute and finish up. You guys with me? Good? Amen. It's good stuff here. Praise the Lord. Consider the invitation. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 2, says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle are all killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and even killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, and he destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready.'" Isn't it interesting that God does not change his agenda? That's good news. I want to see you tell that. The world, can I say this? The world sucks right now. But God has not changed his agenda. Amen. The world is falling apart, going to hell in a handbasket, however you want to say it. But God has not changed his agenda. Come on, somebody get excited, because there's going to be a feast, a wedding. Yes. And we got to be excited about that. Yeah, it's coming. It's unraveling. We know that. Oh my gosh. And it's scary and it's hard to watch. But it's good news that we are still a part of the good news, that his agenda has not changed. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter all that we do. His agenda is still on point to have a feast with the people that has said yes. Said yes to the invitation and said no to the stuff that doesn't matter. Man, that's good news. That's really good news. That's really good news. I mean, oh man. I'm almost 50 years old. This year. This year I'm 50. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, I could not fathom raising children today. And yes, I have adult children that, you know, just so you know, if any of you have adult children, what I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about, but if you have small children, if you think at some certain age you're done, sorry. I was thinking, man, I remember a day when I thought, oh, I'm so glad that all my kids are out of diapers and they could eat and they could feed themselves. And I'm thinking, man, now to have, oh, I wish I could just change a diaper. That would be so easy. But what I'm saying in that is that it's really muddy. It's really muddy, but there's hope and there's purpose, and God's agenda has not changed. Hallelujah. Man, that's a good word. I'd like to just sit there for like till it's ready. Where did I leave off? I can't remember. Okay, yeah. The wedding is ready. The agenda hasn't changed, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Okay, let's call there real quick. Let's do this, because who are the ones that are finding and inviting? Don't put your head down and pretend I'm not looking at you, because I'm looking right at you. That means it's you. It's me. We're the ones that are called to invite and find and invite. Well, it's just not my thing. That's not my thing. I'm not good at, you know, I don't know any Bible verses and I can't really, you know, it's like, you know, that's something. Blah! Stop it. You are called to find and invite. You. I know I got a full-time job that's called pastor that is supposed to do that all the time. It's not all my job. We're all called to find and invite. Can I get a? Thank you. That was good. You guys are awesome. Man, where am I at? I can't find where I leave off. We are all called, as you find and invite to the wedding. So those servants, they went out into the highways and they gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad. Amen, huh, Brother Alfonso? Just stood up here and testified. I'm glad that I didn't have to be good to come in. I'm really glad, because if any of us have to be good to come in, I know there's been a couple of good people. I mean, decent people. My wife is a decent person. She's always been a decent person. So, I know that there's been people that have always been decent. I know that. I've met some of you, but there's the most of us. And then there's us. Yeah, exactly. You were calling it before I even looked at you. I know, you just seen it coming, didn't you? The good and the bad and the good, even the ugly. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. The wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, this is where it gets kind of a little bit good. This is a little bit dicey. The king came in to see the guests. He saw a man there. He saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend." Interesting word. "How did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him out into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Man, that seems so harsh. But he wanted to come in. His intentions were to be a part of the feast, the wedding banquet, eternity, salvation. I want to go, the wording we use, to heaven. I feel like all of us should be able to go to heaven. Right? Anybody disagree with me on that? No, you shouldn't. That's a part of our thinking. We should be, eternity has been, listen to this, eternity has been melded, welded, placed, infused into each and every one of your hearts. You guys know that? Eternity is infused into your heart. Whether you reject it, deny it, try to hide it, or run from it, it's there. All of us want to go to heaven. Hello? So listen, what happens here? What happened here? I'll try to explain it as quick as possible and finish up because I think it's imperative. Is the man had every intention, had a good heart, if you will, to go to heaven. But he didn't meet the requirements. The requirements were simple, very simple. Put on a wedding garment and you're good to go. The wedding garment was a garment that was provided by the person who is throwing on the wedding. That's awesome. Listen, did you hear that? The wedding garment is provided by the person throwing the wedding. All he had to do was take off his old garments that were worthless, dirty, and of no good and of no use, and put on the one that was provided for him. That is it. But it took that choice. You have to, I have to, all of us have to stop deceiving ourselves and thinking, I am okay and I'm good enough and I got this. Why do I have to put on Jesus everywhere I go? Because Jesus is the wedding garment. His righteousness is what covers us and actually gives us the proper place setting to be at. Hello? I'm telling you, I just want to jump. I think it will. Woo! To be at a feast. No, to be at a feast with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, when we put on Jesus, it does require, and I need to be emphasized for you to take off what you think is good enough. And you have to put on Jesus. That's just simple humility. Right, brothers and sisters? Amen. That's all it is. And listen to this. I'm just going to finish it up this and get this. King Jesus is throwing a party. Yeah. Hey, yeah. I'm invited. You're invited. Amen. Please accept the invitation. Take off your filthy, unacceptable clothing and put on his righteousness. And join in on the feast. Amen. Amen.